tonight we bring you a podcast exclusive, an interview with the internationally famous Swedish Freudian psychoanalyst, Bang Olufsen. Dr. Olufsen, please tell us what there is about your practice that makes you worthy of a funny you should say that interview.
As much as some people find this hard to believe, I specialize in working with characters from nursery rhymes. As a group, they're a pretty troubled bunch.
Interesting. Can you tell us something about some of your patients, or would that violate patient confidentiality?
Yeah, of course it would violate confidentiality. But what the hell? How can you live an enjoyable and fulfilling life without spreading some gossip? You might even say I get a big bang out of it. Bang Olufsen. Get it?
I'm
a regular Dickens, aren't I? You probably want to know about some of my more famous patients. These include people like Humpty Dumpty, Jack and Jill, and the eponymous Dish and Spoon.
Humpty Dumpty. Interesting. I can see where he would have problems, all that falling, etc.
You don't know the half of it. First of all, there's the name itself. It sounds so similar to that much-reviled American president, Trumpty Dumpty. In fact, there's a great physical resemblance, too, especially in the arse.
Ouch, yes. That would cause emotional problems, wouldn't it?
You bet your sweet, snarky snapper, buddy. He was a regular basket case when I took him in. In fact, he was actually in a basket when they brought him to me in his cracked condition. First, we had to deal with his compulsion to sit on walls. That rotten habit began when his mother attempted to immerse him in hot water to make him more, shall we say, hard-boiled. That is to say, more impervious to damage, physical and emotional. He took refuge atop a wall, and of course, we all know the rest, don't we? He turned into a bad egg with mother issues.
How has he responded to treatment?
I'm glad you asked. He's much better. We broke him of his penchant for sitting on walls by having him sit instead on boards. He's now on the boards of Amazon, Microsoft, Tesla, and many other famous corporations. He's having the egg timer of his life.
Corporations, you say?
Yeah. Companies like Eggleston Industries, Extra Extra Read All About It Incorporated, Sunny Side Up Homes, the Egg Council. You may know that one from their TV commercial, Got Omelets?
Yes, nothing funny there.
No, apparently not. I hope you're dubbing in a laugh track. Let's move on.
Now, what about Jack and Jill? Our listeners out there in Podland want to know what the story is with those two scamps. Earlier today, we took the opportunity of interviewing them at their cozy hideaway somewhere near Vancouver. Let's listen in. Hi, here we are in Vancouver, where funny you should say that staffer, Tina Alabima, spoke with that charming couple, Jack and Jill.
Jack, Jill, yours is the story of hidden lust. Am I right?
Oh, how right you are, Tina. I remember well that day so long ago when we were trudging up that hill outside Camas. What was on our minds had nothing to do with fetching pails of water.
Hell no! There was a no-tell motel atop that hill. That's where we were headed. Oh, what did we know? We were young, in love. Just a couple of crazy nursery rhyme characters, and our parents forbade our relationship. That, of course, did nothing but drive us further down the path to illicit sex. Or up the hill, as it were.
So Jack and Jill didn't want water. They wanted...
Yes! Sex! Bouncy, bouncy sex and lots of it. That's what we wanted. We admit it. We wanted to fuck our brains out.
And it's what we still want. You'll have to excuse us. There's something in the bedroom that needs our attention.
Please, don't run. We don't want you breaking your crowns again. Back to our studio.
Oh, my.
Dr. Olufsen, you heard what Jack and Jill said. Was theirs a difficult case for you?
Oh, yeah, indeed it was. First of all, both of them were only 14 years old when their parents brought them to me.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I was surprised at the outcome. Such a young couple responding so well to our unusual form of therapy.
Which was?
We sent them on a Disney cruise in a pea green boat manned by two Disney characters, an owl and a pussycat. They sailed away for a year and a day to a land where the bong tree grows. And there in a wood, a piggywig stood with a ring at the end of his nose. Oh, I beg your pardon. I sometimes let emotion get the better of me. A terrible flaw for a Freudian.
Sounds like it would have been good, clean fun on that cruise.
You would think so, wouldn't you? Disney, big free buffet 24/7, a sauna, free bingo games, good, clean fun, except for the dirty business they were engaged in when the owl caught them in the anchor storage locker. Well, we won't get into the salacious details on that, but all told, it was a great experience for the two kids. We had given them honey and plenty of money, all wrapped in a 5-pound note. We informed Jack he could use it to acquire the services of a prostitute instead of repeatedly stopping poor little Jill day in and day out, and thereby risking his running afoul of the Mann Act. Of course, by now, today, these two have reached the legal age where they can and do legally screw all they want, and climbing hills is in the past, so there's no chance of them breaking their crowns, assuming, of course, they still wear crowns, a practice that's no longer fashionable, even in Camus.
Who has been your most challenging case?
I would say that would be one Mr. Thumb.
You're referring to the famous Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum?
The same. The big man with the four names. When he came to me, he had an olfactory fixation on Englishmen. Kept complaining he was smelling their blood, even when there were no Englishmen to be found anywhere in the immediate vicinity. We tried every trick in the book to resolve that problem. Round-the-clock talk therapy. Even high-voltage electroshock. Damn near fried his brain. Nothing worked.
So, a rare failure, as it were.
No, as a matter of fact, a medical colleague came up with an answer. Surgical removal of the olfactory organ.
Fascinating. But then, how did he smell?
Oddly enough, not unlike an Englishman who has not showered for 3 days. Yeah, he smelled pretty foul, as you might expect of anyone who drinks the blood of Englishmen. It creates farts that can put you into a coma.
So that treatment worked.
Yeah, before the amputation off his nose, he had such an overdeveloped sense of smell. He could detect an Englishman with a bleeding hemorrhoid thousands of miles away.
But he couldn't smell his own farts?
Evidently not. He provided a counter to the old rule. He who smelt it, dealt it. Except, of course, in his case, he couldn't smelt it.
Well, tell me, Doctor, given your experience treating these nursery rhyme characters, what advice would you have for parents who read stories about them to their kids?
Yeah, my advice is to stop it immediately. You are brainwashing your kids into accepting these nutters as role models. Next thing you know, you'll find your offspring annoying cows, trying to get them to jump over the moon. And you're not helping those fairy tale wackos by making them think they're normal. Do you want to know how many months it took me to convince Fork and Spoon they were nothing more than eating utensils? These creatures can be dangerous.
How so?
Let me give you an example. In this very town, there was a little girl whose last name happened to be Moffat. Her parents called her Little Miss Moffat and often read that rhyme to her about the girl whose name was nearly the same. One day, the girl set out to test the veracity of that story. She found a tuffet down the street on a pile of trash, awaiting pickup. She dragged it out of the trash, sat down on it, and began eating some curds and whey she carried in her lunchbox. You know, don't you, that stuff is nothing more than cottage cheese.
The result?
Before you could say Jack Sprat, a big ugly spider was sitting down beside her.
No! Oh, my God.
Yes, a nasty Honduran 12-eyed arachnid. And the next thing she knew, that spider was binding up the little girl in a blanket of silk so he could steal her whey, undisturbed, but not her curds. He was lactose intolerant. Someone saw this and came to the girl's aid just in the nick of time. You'll never guess who that was.
Stevie Nicks?
No, it was the old lady who lived in the shoe. Ironic, right?
Well, that would say to me that not all nursery rhyme characters are evil. Or loony.
Oh, really? It just so happens that that old woman gave the girl a bowl of peas porridge because she looked hungry. It was too hot, and she burned the girl's lips. So now the parents are suing the old woman, who may end up losing her split-level shoe if they win the case.
I see your point. Well then, Doctor, what would you advise parents to use instead of nursery rhymes when reading stories to their kids?
Dr. Seuss books are a safe bet. You can always trust an author with an advanced degree.
Well, thank you, Doctor. Be sure to join us next time, when our guest will be a naval officer who lives 20,000 leagues under the sea.
Captain Kangaroo?
No, someone altogether different.
Nursery Rhyme Shrink, written by Miss Bo Peep, starred...
Larry.
And...
Mrs. Lovejoy.